Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The good news in the midst of this wintry Valentine's weekend is that God is the Lord of all the seasons. He's the Lord of winter, spring, summer, and fall. He's the Lord of this day and for all of life. And so the question is not is who God is, but who you are in light of God. God knows who you are in light of Him, but do you know who you are in light of Him? That's the big context. That's what's going on, is that in the midst of all the challenges of our world right now, God is saying to you that His promise and His power is coming delivered right on to you. What just went off on my iPhone was my grandson's playing a landmine trick on me when he set about 15 alarms on my iPhone when he was playing with it, and I thought I'd turned them all off. And you would know it would be in the middle beginning of my sermon that one of them would happen right now. In the midst of the surprises that happen along life's way, God comes with a steadiness so that we can be centered in whatever is unfolding for us. Of course, the scriptures that Joe and Fred have read for us is a way to be centered into His Word. For His Word comes to penetrate our lives so that we may allow God to just grow His presence in us and create a biblical worldview, to create a worldview by which we can see more clearly through the lens of God. And in that promise, we're in worship today, preparing ourselves for the great Valentine banquet, the Valentine banquet of communion, where you at home, we're grateful that hundreds are worshiping together at this experience of live stream and Facebook Live, as well as a remnant for us here at TriPoint, to be fully into His presence so this Valentine love will deliver its message from the authority of the one who is the God of all seasons. So blessings on your wintry Valentine weekend. Not what we had hoped for, but like so much of life, we have to respond to that which we did not create, but with which we have to deal. There much is occurring in your life that was not of your initiative, nor necessarily of your desire, but there you are in the midst of it, and God has the power and the promise to say to you, because He is the Lord of all, He is the Lord of your circumstance and your response. We've been paying close attention to the winter weather, haven't we? Typically for us in the Hill Country, San Antonio, and South Texas, we pay closer attention when we get into the heat of summer. We'll frequently have people worshiping with us during the winter season who have come from up north. We apologize to you because you brought your weather with us, and we have still received the warmth of your presence, but we couldn't get you away from that weather from which you came. But we have been finding ourselves paying close attention to the weather forecast this weekend, haven't we? How cold will it get? How bad will it be? How wet will the roads be? And will the ice form? Are we going to be able to stay warm and help others be warm? And again, the warmth of the heart of God's love comes to the warmth of your heart so that you may be warm in a cold season. And that's why Jesus came to the world. As we have paid attention to the larger context, what's going on with the weather, we always pay attention to what's happening in our heart of what we're feeling and thinking. And so the passage, which is huge in proportion, found here in Luke 9 as we are walking the pathway through the Gospel of Luke on the way to Easter, as we're allowing the authority of the God of all seasons speak to us through the Messiah ministry of Jesus through the pages of the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 9, there are several big stories, but we're highlighting a conversation that happened over 8 days. 8 days when Jesus, He began the conversation with God in prayer. You'll notice that in this passage are 2 times that Jesus was praying. And in both times, big things happened after he prayed. Now, sometimes when you pray or I pray, it is very quiet afterwards, but the power of that prayer is with us, and it can provide then for the small breakthroughs to lead to a big breakthrough, and other times it's just a huge breakthrough that comes our way. And Jesus begins by saying, faith in your voice to find your voice. Find your voice. That you have a voice to be able to speak. You have an opinion that as a follower of Christ that you can express yourself and let God know that your voice is identified with him. Jesus then asked the question, right coming straight out of his first prayer time in this Luke 9 experience, when he prayed in the verse Luke 9, which he said, I want you to know this, what are people saying about me? Who do people say that I am? And then he turned to them, not what other people are saying, then he turned to say, and who do you say that I am? Now, the you is very important. That's when we're finding our voice. That's when from our voice, we are able to declare our own commitment. We're able to give our own confession. We're able to identify with the one who is the author of life and the God of all seasons. Will we stand up with our voice and speak the word as we stand of who Christ is? Who do you say that I am? Now, on the first question, they said, well, some are saying that, you know, that you're a John the Baptist come back to life. Some say that you're the prophet of Elijah from a time gone by who's returned to this ministry of the earth. And Lord wants you to know that when we were out and about doing that, and he was bewildered. I say the crowd won't give us our clarity, but it is a commitment of focus in a relationship to be in this direct connect with the Christ who then gives us a confidence to be able to declare that voice. Now, where did the conversation take place? It was a particular moment in time where Jesus had and his disciples had gone up north just to the shadow of Mount Hermon, the tallest peak in all of Israel, bordering right there with Lebanon. And there, outside of the city of Caesarea Philippi, a city named after one of the Roman emperors, there is where worship of gods from the Greek culture and the Roman culture had been laid out. And the overarching place of worship was called the Pan or Pan. It's the god of many gods. This Pan was one covering that people could come from the hillside into the shadow of the mountain and be able to worship whatever god that he or she desired in their heart, because the temple was set for them. And just beneath this temple, this worship area, is a stream that flows from Mount Hermon, and that goes on to form then the Jordan River. It's Jesus took the apostles and the disciples to the edge of the border of Israel to ask them a key question that would unlock all the mysteries of life in a very uncomfortable setting. They were outside of their norm. Life does that to us sometimes, doesn't it? It moves us out of the norm into the new experience. And that's exactly where Jesus said, I'm with you there. Now, particularly in this moment, it was when Peter then, among the apostles, who said, of all the choices that are out here, we want you to know that it's become clear to us, but I speak my own voice, Peter said. We know that you are the name of Christ, that God's anointed. The word he was saying, we know that you are the Messiah of God. Peter found his voice. This day, have you found your voice? We can defer our voices to a whole bunch of other people. We can look to Washington, D.C. and get caught in the confusion. We can look with other figures called celebrities and lose ourselves in their shadow. But the Lord said, I want you to know, when you come to me, you discover who you truly are. But you've got to find your voice. I remember as an 11-year-old boy, I was finding my voice to be able to say, I believe in you, Lord. And I give my life to you. But it's not a one and done. It's a way of having that grow within our life. that in the midst of finding our voice with a confession of faith, and that voice is to grow, to give the application to every area of our life, to our family life, to our financial life, to our politics, to our business, to our school, to our fears and to our hopes, to let that speak that you are God's Messiah for my whole life, and I will make a decision on my whole life in light of you. One of the fun traditions in Valentine weekends is to be able to give a Valentine card. Many of you will recall when you were in elementary school, your elementary school teacher probably had you create Valentine cards to give to other classmates. And then if you had a particular affection for, you know, someone else in the class, you might put a little extra drawing on there, but you could cover it because you were giving a Valentine to everybody in class. And in the midst of our learning how to express that Valentine word is a way of being able to find our voice to classmates to say, hey, you're okay. Hey, you're important to me. Hey, I'm glad to be your friend. Vicki, I want you to know that I have planned a fabulous Valentine celebration in honor of this day and for you. But winter weather got in the way, and so we'll have to schedule it for another year. But I just want you to know, it was there. The plans were in place. If there's anyone else needing that kind of coverage, it's there for you right now, too. And when we be able to say with our voice, you matter to me. And to be able to say to people, I love you. That's what's going on here. Secondly, when to understand what's really going on, we have to faith our voice to be able to find our voice. And then we gain by losing and losing by gaining. That's this seemingly contradictory statement of Jesus, but it's the paradox that is communicating the great truth. So often I find in Scripture, as well as in life itself, that I can't comprehend what's going on just in my own inside or my own power. That I have to understand there are times that the verses of the Scripture or a God experience in life is trying to help me comprehend by the lens of God, by who God is. And so Jesus is just right after this conversation with Peter and the other disciples listening in. He then says to them, you know, you've answered well, that's exactly right. But let me tell you, it's got to keep growing inside of you. It has to keep growing inside of you, and here's what you have to learn. That the more of me becoming more in you, the less of you there is to get in the way. Well, what does that mean? That the less of the world's way of winning being branded as our way to win in the world. When Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove, it means that we don't take on the world's ways to live our way in life. But with the innocence of the dove, we bring God's heart, love, expression into the world. And we use that in the business practice. That business practices can win in the practice of love and the ethic of honesty and the commitment to tell the truth. Families may only win by the grace of forgiveness. What family can survive without first losing one's own pride and needing to say, I am sorry. Please forgive me. We lose then our false sense of pride in order to gain where true pride comes from, and that is seeing ourselves in light of God and letting God form his fashion inside of us. And God knows exactly what's going on in our life and knows exactly what's threatening our life, threatening our society right now. It's a most essential message for us to hear. It's essential for individual relationships and for family life and the life of our nation, the life of our environment in the world, that we've got to do some giving up to get that which is better. And that is for God's healing path to take hold. A friend of mine who's 43 years old recently had a brain scan. In the brain scan, they discovered that there were two golf-sized tumors. As we're praying for TR and for God's healing power to come into his life medically as well as with God's divine touch right now, it's the awareness TR had symptoms to know that something was occurring that he could not explain. And then the brain scan, which he then has shared with others, revealed what was going on inside. God comes to you with the power to know, for you to know, that he knows what's going on in your life. And he comes with the means by which to bring that healing touch. But we've got to trust him when we are going to lose in order to win by trusting in his winning power. Some of you have lost only to discover something much more rich than what you had before. Some of you have been on the edge of death because of COVID-19 or other life-threatening illnesses, only to discover what it really means to be alive, truly alive. Some of us lose weight in order to gain better health. Some of us talk about ourselves with less I's and me's and mine, and more about you and our and we. It's the sense of the inclusion of God's purposes in the life to be at work to reveal his promise. So three, once we have faith to find our voice, and once we have discovered that it is by gaining with God, by losing our own private agenda and giving that to God, that gaining is winning God's way. Then we find ourselves in this progression of a conversation that Jesus then took Peter, James, and John, an inner circle of the apostles, up higher into this same mountain, and there he again prayed. And as he prayed, they saw a transfiguration. They saw a refiguring of the Christ with a heavenly presence, an aura about him. And what showed in the midst of this presence were the great characters of Elijah and Moses from the past, transforming on the mountaintop. God has a way for you to see the bigger picture of what's being accomplished. And within this, then a sign of God's presence from the days of Moses, of a cloud enveloping those who were in worship. There the voice then spoke out. And the voice spoke out, "This indeed is my son," the Trinity of God speaking of the fullness of God. "And so I have chosen him. Listen to him." Be transformed within his presence. Now, in the flow of this transformation underway and this experience that's unfolding, there so often in my life I have been embarrassed by this passage because I didn't know what to do with it. And if I just discounted it, then that was being unfaithful. If I tried just to present it as it was, it seemed to be non-intellectual. And if I tried to reshape it and to make it more palatable to our rational mind, that seemed to be manipulative. And so we need to be guided by how my sermon opened. Let God be God. God is the God of all seasons. We want God to do things that we can't fully understand, we can't fully grasp. They're bigger than who we are. Therefore, let God be God in a way that we're taken up with him. And that's what's occurring here. That both for the witness of the eyes for Peter, James, and John, but for Jesus to get the confirmation before he would head on to the requirements of love, entering a hateful world that would take him to the cross. Before the resurrection would show the victory, the Lord God is saying, "You are indeed my son, and I'm proud of you. Listen to him." Are you listening to God? Are you listening and hearing his love message to you? So many other voices try to get us to hear only them. But by listening into this voice of God, then we can hear everything else with more accurately and more discerning, with greater heart intent. That's where going up to this mountaintop experience, like Moses went to a mountaintop and received the Ten Commandments. So the up in this mountaintop experience that you can see in this mountain view, once when hiking along this way, kind of caught by, I was in a vantage point to see which I could not see otherwise. And by the vista across the way, there were also clouds that were covering, but there was enough sunlight breaking through. And the mountain will give us the ability to see a big picture. And God's showing us the big picture of his love in the story of Jesus. And the story of Jesus comes to you that you may see whatever is occurring in your life in light of him. God is the Lord of all seasons. So know that you are God's Valentine in this weekend, in this season of life, and for every season of life. Receive the warmth of his love in a way that you may give the warmth of God's love into the lives of others. That's what's occurring then at this communion table. That if you're at home, we're grateful that we are one right here in this worship space to your worship space. And that whatever you have at home to be a symbol of the bread as the body of Christ, with a cup to be the sign of the blood of the covenant, have that in your hand. For it was months later from the mountaintop experience that Jesus then went to Jerusalem and he took them into the upper room, a different kind of higher view, a different kind of mountaintop in the city. And one of the reasons why people are skeptical about the mountaintop is because when you get a word from God and a feeling of love there, how do you live it when you're down in regular life at the lower level? I'm intrigued these days of politics when it seems to be kind of a go-to illustration saying, well, we can't just sing Kumbaya and everything will be okay. It's like that whoever is saying that, whatever politician, has taken a language out of the spiritual of Christian worship and try to put it into this political context and saying, it don't work. But if they really understood what Kumbaya means, come by here, Lord, they would understand it's exactly what we need. That is, when you come from the mountaintop to the valley or the level ground, it is taking what we've experienced with God and putting it into application that is sweaty, but the Lord is with us. God gives us the power to live his truth in our life. And don't let anyone take that from you. Come by here, Lord. So Jesus then in the upper room went and gathered his apostles and other men and women disciples. And there he said, you remember Moses, when the whole Passover experience began, they took the bread and they broke it and they blessed it and they gave it. He said, now this is my body that just hours from now will be upon the cross. I give this to you. We would say today, this is the Valentine. This is the experience of God's love coming, that we may find our voice to confess. We may gain by having seen what we're giving up. And that from the mountaintop, we may take and eat. At this point, if you will take then the sign of the bread, to receive it. And to you, Lord, we give thanks. Red is the color for our Valentine's celebration. And it is, just as Christopher expressed in the prayer of Thanksgiving, that there was a man by the name of Valentinus who didn't understand everything, but he understood enough. And what he understood of what's really going on is that Caesar is trying to get in the way of Christian couples experiencing the joy of marriage in love. So at the risk of his own life, and then by giving ultimately his own life under the decree of Caesar, he celebrated and consecrated the gift of a love that does not end. Jesus then, in the sign of the red, the sign of his life-giving blood from the cross, then took that cup with the people in the upper room and does for you today at home and for us right here. Say, take now, take and drink in remembrance of me. you, O Lord. We humbly thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As being the God of all seasons, being the giver of love, and the redemptive power to take our life of sin and turn us into people of promise, your promise. Now we come to this next invitation, Lord. Guide us with a similar courage that we then will find our voice and speak our commitment to you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.